You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
So we're back 2 hours before the draft, and we got some experts.
He's busy tweeting and stuff.
We're trying to promote the show here. We didn't get the photograph in time.
That's Cole Kubik and Chris Doering, two fairly familiar names. Good to see both of you.
Great to see you, Paul.
So get some new glasses?
A little bit.
I like them.
Yeah, look good. Thank you very much. Yeah.
You upgraded.
Well...
style.
You
know, draft night.
Yeah. Draft night. This is a big night. It is a big night. There's so much being said about the three quarterbacks, and I think we know which way that's going to go. But what are you watching for tonight?
You know, the story that I've been paying a lot of attention to are the decline or I guess the lack of favor that Brock Bowers is getting all of a sudden. Like, this was a guy the last 3 years we've talked about, man, he could be a top three pick. You know, now he moved out of the top five. People are saying he's going to go outside of the top 10. I don't understand it. You can say whatever you want about devaluing the tight end position, but this guy's more than a tight end. He can play wide out, split out. He can get the jet sweep. He's lined up in the backfield against Auburn, had some runs. So Debo Samuel, these guys can do more than just one thing. I think he's a football player, and I think he's deserving of being in the top 10, if not the top five.
I'm with Chris. I think it's really odd to see him anywhere from 7-8 to 18-20-ish. And it's just kind of crazy to think about. This was one of our top, I don't know, five or six football players in the nation last year that we watched play. The versatility that he could add to an offense, I'm really intrigued, Paul, not only where he comes off, but where he goes. And once we see where he goes, I think we'll get an idea how they could use him, how versatile that offense is. I've seen some people knocking for his blocking as well. Now, he wasn't asked to be in line next to a tackle a whole lot, but he can do it when he was asked to. He's a physical football player when you ask him to be. So I'm with Chris. I think that and the defensive players as well. 19 is the record for offensive players in the first round. We could absolutely blow past that tonight and see a major lack of defensive players taken, which I think is going to be interesting for the second round because there'll be some great defenders that are there for somebody to grab.
Well, Chris, I mean, you have the emphasis on the quarterbacks, and then the second emphasis is on the wide receivers.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a Malik Nabers guy. Obviously, we saw a lot more of him this year than Marvin Harrison or Rome Odunze, but I feel like Malik Nabers was so productive, and yet he's not as refined, I think, as Marvin Harrison Jr. is. He's had a chance to work with Marvin, his father, all his whole life, but I think you look at how productive he is, yet maybe not the best route runner yet, maybe not setting guys up as well as he eventually will. To me, the upside is there. In every single game, he showed up and showed out. So I'm big on him. I'm interested at the bottom part of the first round, though. Any of those other SEC receivers, Ladd McConkey, Ricky Pearsall, Xavier Leggett, any of those guys sneak in? I think there's a chance that maybe one or two of them does.
Or A.D. Mitchell, who in about a month and a half will be an SEC receiver, former SEC receiver. I'm with Chris. I think it is odd that there's so much clarity that Marvin Harrison Jr. is just the first receiver that's going to be taken. And it looks like it'll go that way. But I think Malik Nabers, of the top three, is the best football player of those three receivers. You're talking about giving a guy the ball in the backfield, run after catch, physicality, being able to block somebody. He has just a little more dog in him. Now, I think for me, if you're looking for the most explosive, it's Rome Odunze. And that's what most people in the league want, somebody who can take the top off, who is a very clean route runner, has great – I think he led the nation in contested catches last year. So I just don't think there's a lot of difference in any of those three, Paul. But it seems to be, hey, Marvin Harrison Jr., and he's just going to be the guy.
I'd be remiss not to say something about Brian Thomas Jr., too. I mean, you don't see guys that are 6'4" that have the type of speed that he has. You know, it reminds me of playing with Plexico Burress back in the day. Now, Plexico was 6'6", probably a little faster maybe. But those types of guys have to have attention from defenses. You're rolling coverage his way. It really does a lot for opening up other receivers in the offense.
Talking to Cole and Chris here, I do want to get some insight from both of you on what you've seen this spring, too. Obviously, the draft is a couple hours away, but we haven't had a chance to talk to both of you because you've been to a number of spring games, you've been to practices. Chris, what stood out to you?
Yeah, you know, I'm a little biased at times, but Florida to me, I think, is further along than maybe I expected them to be. Was impressed with the practices that I saw of theirs in the spring game. Did Auburn's A-Day game, and Cam Coleman was probably one of the most hyped up freshmen coming into the spring, and he not only delivered but exceeded expectations in that A-Day game. And then I was at Pro Day in Knoxville for Tennessee and happened to get to see their first scrimmage. Man, you look at Nico Iamaliava, that guy has put on some weight. The way the ball comes out of his hands, man, it is pretty to watch. So I think Tennessee has a more manageable schedule than a lot of the teams in this league, and I think they could be kind of a dark horse surprise team.
For me, Paul, kind of following up a little bit of where Chris went, some of the teams that are not just flying under the radar but that have almost zero expectation this year, I believe are going to have a chance to surprise some folks. Florida being number one. These people that are saying Florida's going to win three or four games, I understand the schedule looks difficult, but some of the names on that schedule that people are just chalking up an L to, I don't look at them as 10 or 11 win football teams this year. So you have a quarterback that did what Graham Mertz did last year in a scheme that has shown to be successful and can work. Now year two under both systems, I just don't think that this is going to be a three or four win football
team. Let's look
at
the schedule for a second. Because
you didn't like my schedule explanation last time I was on with you, Paul.
Let's talk about the first half for a second. Where are the opportunities there? We think Miami is some powerhouse.
Well, let me just start here. Miami, not a powerhouse, by the way. Okay, no, now I think they could be a better football team. You bring Cam Ward in, and he might be a guy that gets that offense right, but he still ad-libs a lot. There's a lot of guys you lost through the portal. Chris Hatcher does a great job at Stanford. You should handle that game. A&M has a new head football coach.
Right.
That nasty defensive line that they had, and they still have both Shamars back. They'll be good, but are they going to be as good as last year offensively? Connor Wigman's not even 100% yet. Mississippi State, a gettable game, even though it's on the road. UCF is a team that was 6-7 last year.
Yeah.
Tennessee should be better, but like Chris said, that's
so
essentially
let me
a new
make
starting
this simple.
Quarterback.
Let's say upside, one loss of those first six.
I think so. I mean, I think Miami's a much more.
So here's where it gets tricky.
Yeah.
Okay, well, and there could be more, but we'll say one loss, and I'm going to say it's at Tennessee. Other side of the schedule.
You get Kentucky at home this year, at least. You
know? I would rather get Ole Miss late than I would early, because I do think depth might be a little bit of an issue for Ole Miss. Is the LSU defense going to be any better than it was last year? The offense isn't going to be as good as it was last year. We know that. Florida State, half their team didn't even play in their bowl game, much less not going to be back this year. I don't have a ton of confidence in DJ Uiagalelei being a guy that's going to go out and lead his team to 10 or 11 wins.
I see a 10-2 season, don't you, Chris?
And I'm glad I'm not the one saying it, because I'd get filleted for talking about my alma mater that way, so I appreciate you
turning my phone off right now.
Talk show. He's got to come up with the...
Yeah.
By the way, I see what you're talking about.
Well, the other thing would be Auburn, like Chris said. First thing, Chris called me right after the spring and he said, have you stood next to Cam Coleman? And I said, no. He's like, you're not going to believe it. You'll get another nice weapon from Penn State and a wide receiver that's going to be able to help Peyton Thorne. They're going to be able to run the football. Offensive line should be better. I do have concerns about the Auburn defense, but I think people believe that Peyton Thorne has to be, you know, a Cam Newton or somebody like that for Auburn to go out and win 6 or 7, maybe 8 games.
I mean, this non-conference... Well,
it's the weirdest schedule, though, Paul.
I made that mistake last year on non-conference, and I was wrong.
They're home until October. Yeah. Then they don't play a single game in the Jordan-Hare in October.
November.
And then they play.
By the way, I like that schedule.
It's one that's built for a fast start,
yeah,
for sure. And just to second what you said, Cole, about Peyton Thorne, like, the biggest statement sometimes about people is when you say nothing, when you do nothing. They went out and did not add a single quarterback through the transfer portal. That, to me, was the endorsement of what not only they think he can do, but what the impact of Hugh Freeze being more involved in the quarterback development and the offensive play calling and play design can do for Peyton Thorne himself.
A very intelligent move, I think, by Hugh Freeze and the Auburn collective, Paul, to not do what Chris just said, and you go grab two defensive tackles that can help you right away. One, technically from Southern California, A&M, and you grab another one from Indiana, and you'll get an edge rusher from Arkansas State and a receiver from Penn State. Those are bodies that are going to help your football team, going to help your depth down the stretch of that schedule that we talked about. And there wasn't a quarterback that I think that was available that Auburn really had a chance to go get to bring in and make up that difference. So you ride Peyton Thorne, you run the football, hope your defense can build a little bit with what you got through the portal, and maybe you can get to 8, possibly 9 wins if things were to go your way.
What I hear from fans is this: the log jam at the top. I think we know how it's going to come when we get to wherever, Dallas. Sounds so weird. You're going to see Georgia, Texas, and then there is a group of schools that are vying for that next spot.
Well, Ole Miss and Missouri.
First off,
was the
do
one.
You believe there's a logjam at the top?
Outside of Georgia?
If you're counting a singular log, then yes.
Well, no, I should say a logjam meaning that I think we all agree that Georgia, Texas are the top two.
Georgia, then we can start talking about the jam of logs right after that, and I think Texas would be one of those teams.
I won't argue semantics with you, but we'll say Georgia's at the top. Continue.
I think Texas is close. I think Alabama's close. I think Ole Miss is right in the mix, right, with all those teams right there with what they've added through the portal. Chemistry, going to be interesting to see what Lane can do, but I have confidence in his system and how it operates. And then after that, I think you get some really big question marks. Maybe can Missouri be back to where they were a season ago? Offensively, yes. Blake Baker, a massive loss. And you lost some big pieces, not only on the back end, but in the front seven of that defense. So I think that's the question, Chris, is we know who one is clearly. Mm-hmm. I think we know a couple of the teams that are tier two knocking on the door of tier one. Who's going to jump into tier two that can maybe be knocking on that door of tier one?
Two years ago, it was Tennessee that came out of nowhere and made that great run beating Alabama that season. Last year, it was Missouri and Ole Miss, as you talked about. So I wonder who those teams are going to be. But I think this year, more so than any other year, it's so difficult after spring practice to really know who teams are really going to be. The transfer portal, the new additions, I think Auburn had 29 new faces on campus between freshmen and transfer portal guys. I think Florida had 33. So I don't know. The old days of having a good idea of what your team is going to be, I think, is long gone.
Great stuff. Cole and Chris, you'll see them all night here. Not
looking
talking about
to...
this, but talking about
you'll
the
be home by then, right?
I'll be.
Will you
I'll
watch
be
the draft tonight?
I'm watching you guys. Whatever time you're on. What time are you on?
I don't even know.
Saban's on television. He's watching. So
you got it. We'll take a short break. We have a special treat for you in a moment. We got a real live player, not a talking head,
washed
not
up
a
guy.
Former player, but a real live player. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back, and you just heard from some former players. How about introducing you to a real live player right now in the SEC, Derek Wingo from the University of Florida. He's a linebacker, and I'm amazed because we always make fun of Chris Doering here, but you actually are associated with him. He's helping you with part of your education. Good afternoon, and tell us about it.
Yeah, so I think it's a great opportunity. You know, Gatormade at the University of Florida does an amazing job with kind of creating that plan for you. You know, when I decided to go to the University of Florida, you think of it as more of a 40-year plan than a 4-year plan. So I think that's a great thing, and having all the alumni and people like Chris Doering to be able to help that out. You know, I've had the great opportunity to do an internship through, broadcasting, kind of stuff like that. So the University of Florida definitely sets that up for you to have those different kind of opportunities.
So I'm jumping to conclusions here, Derek, but after you're finished playing football, is this, not this show, but this type of work, is that something that would interest you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you end up...
By the way, you're welcome to take the show over tomorrow.
If you eventually get off the show, maybe I'll take it from you. But yeah, you know, doing broadcasting, staying around sports, you know, once you're actually in sports, you never want to leave. So having the opportunity to be around sports, talk about it, knowing the ins and outs and just how the game works is amazing. So definitely that's something that I'd be interested in and get to do in the future.
Yeah, I was going to say if you were available next week or the week after, but you told me during the break you've got a slight... this is not your normal class trip that most of us took maybe down to the beach. Tell us where you're going next.
Yeah, so we're actually doing a trip to Tokyo over in Japan. Luckily, we have the opportunity for every year to do like a service abroad trip. So Savannah Bailey over there in Gator Maid does an amazing job with setting that up, make sure everything is kind of set in place for us to kind of show a little bit kind of who we are as a person, to be able to go out and use our platform to be able to really just help other people. And when you get back from those trips, it really, you just understand how grateful you know, you really are and how blessed you really are to have what you have and, you know, not to take things for granted. So I think that's amazing.
That is amazing. Where else have you been?
Two years ago, we took a trip to Greece. Last year, we did South Africa, and then this year's Japan.
That is really extraordinary. I'm curious, when you go to places like that, you haven't been to Tokyo yet, but you've been to Greece and Africa. What strikes you about what you see there versus what you have here?
Yeah, it's definitely a completely different style of living, you know, a different cultural aspects and everywhere. So, I mean, it's great to be able to learn and just honestly, you know, respect what they do differently than you do. And, you know, that goes back to thing, just, you know, being grateful for what you have, because, you know, understanding as an athlete, knowing the platform that you have and the influence that you have on the younger generation and even those at your age that don't have what you have. So I think that's amazing to be able to, you know, pass that along to other people.
This is so inspiring to hear, because I think too often we get hung up, Derek, on athletes, and the only thing they ever do is work out and prepare. And there is a lot of that, to say the least. You can't play at the level you're at. But you mentioned responsibility. Talk about that for a second, because I think those of us who don't really understand what you go through and what you represent would like to hear.
Yeah, so the responsibility of a student athlete, I think sometimes is, you know, people don't understand the magnitude of what that really is. You know, you have your classes, your football schedule, all these different things that you have to manage, and then, you know, still go out on Saturdays and perform to the best of your ability. So, you know, after those games, whether or not things go right or wrong, you know, you're going to get criticism no matter what. So, you know, just being able to have the maturity level of, you know, like guys who are 17, 18, 19, you know, it takes a lot. So to kind of understand that and really have that maturity level, understand responsibilities and have that time management, I think that's the key to kind of being a successful young adult.
And we get so hung up as we do a program like this on winning and losing, but I think it's often lost on what happens. Your team, you know, had some really good moments. You beat Tennessee last year. You had a road win in the SEC, a couple of them, but there were also some bitter disappointments. How are you able to deal with that? Not so much from a team standpoint, because you have a lot of people to lean on, but you're out walking around, going to class, and you have to hear what's going on around you.
Yeah, you know, you're going to get that everywhere, and I think Coach Napier's done an amazing job with surrounding us in people in the facility to be able to control those emotions and understand that, you know, that criticism is always going to come. You know, I'm super excited with the team that we've built this next upcoming year. All of the talent that we've added through the transfer portal, the experience is the biggest thing, I think, that people don't realize. You know, last year we were going into games with guys that just didn't have as much experience. You know, now that we have double the amount of experience going into next year through all these big time games, I think that's going to be the aspect that sets us apart. You know,
so. We had Graham Mertz on about a month ago, and you know, we know what the pundits say, but I mean, he had a lot of people convinced about things that we don't see, that we don't know, that you're referring to now, and I came away, and I think you heard it from Kubelik and even Chris, that there's something going on at Florida. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but it feels like a lot of us are in the dark, so to speak, about the transformation between last year and this year. Can you give us a clue on what's happening?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's all about, you know, getting the right pieces for the puzzle. You know, everyone's seen a lot of changes and has their own judgments on the type of people we've added or, you know, let leave or the different coaching staffs and stuff like that. No, I finally feel like Coach Napier's done an amazing job with putting those pieces together. So understanding how to mold it all, get it all together, make sure everyone's on the right page, and then, you know, having the guys around in the facility that just have pride about the University of Florida and the program and understanding how much it's really worth. And I think that's the biggest part about this team, that everybody just cares so much, you know, not, you know, about winning and just about doing things the right way. So I think that's going to be the separation tool for us.
Talking to Derek Wingo. Derek, answer this, because you talk to fans, and they, you know, if you're my age or older, you go, this is not the football I grew up with. You know, used to go to the school because it was the University of Florida or Georgia or South Carolina. Now, I'm representing what fans say. Players are making money. They can leave whenever they want. Answer that, because I'm hearing you. I'm not hearing that type of approach. I'm hearing something much more traditional than that when Chris played and when other people played. They went there because it was the University of Florida.
No, absolutely. I think that NIL is an amazing thing. I think it's helped so many different athletes, not only, you know, help support them and their families, but, you know, also it's like changing the game a little bit, right? It's getting kind of more of like the professional level understanding, making you grow up and mature a little bit. You know, when you have things like financial advisors and learn how to even pay your own taxes, things like that, you don't see 17, 18-year-olds doing. So I think NIL has been amazing, but, you know, understanding that at the end of the day, you're there to play football. And I think the money and everything's great. You need to get what you deserve, and that needs to be handled the right way. But understand that, you know, if you're not performing to the way that you should be, don't expect a paycheck. If you're not doing what you need to be done, you know, not showing up to classes the right way, doing all the things that you're required and supposed to be doing that you're expected to be doing, you know, don't expect these big paychecks. So I think that, you know, that goes back to just the pride I think that this team has, understanding the fact we're there to do a job. And, you know, that's just kind of that mentality to get the job done and handle business the right way.
Well, Derek, I can't tell you how impressed I am meeting you. I know you're a great football player, but man, you need to. I got a couple of agents I'd like to give you, because you are going to be a star in this business whenever you quit playing football. Thanks for dropping by, and all the best this year.
Absolutely, I appreciate you.
What a fantastic conversation with Derek Wingo. We'll take a short break. We'll get to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And welcome back. Let's get right to the calls. And I-Man starts off the final 30 minutes of the show. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking the call. Good interview with Cole and Chris. I think you might as well go and put the Auburn Tigers in that second tier.
I like that.
Because they're going to come out and they're going to shock some people, just like Alabama. They're going to shock some people. Auburn's going to shock. Auburn's going to be competitive. And they're going to beat a few of those teams that everybody's, you know, just trying to write Auburn down for. And that's okay.
You know, Hugh Freeze and DeBoer, the boring guy, in the same boat, kind of. At least Hugh Freeze has played with the big boys and know what the big boys are all about. And he knows what speed and strengths and all those abilities that the big boys' opponents will bring. And I don't think your boring guy has a clue on that. And I kind of figure that Freeze has been tested and DeBoer hasn't. And I tell you, about the sixth or seventh game of the season, DeBoer will be squatting to pee with that team he's got. I mean, he lied to – this is Alabama. They're going to shock people with the failures. He lied to the team about the coaches they were going to have. He's got a quarterback that led a mutiny that pretty much told the little fella it was time for him to move on. And he told the coaching staff they weren't going to do anything. And they mutinized the team. Then they demanded money and all that. And then this is the team that boring guy is going to approach the field with. And when he gets out there and has to face competition, he's going to have to try to start coaching. And then he's going to piss a bunch of them guys off. And they're going to lay down on him just like they did at South Florida last year. And moving on, the Derek Wingo interview. Now, that guy's not going to go to his position coach and say, I don't do them plays. I don't do them plays. I already know how to do that. They guys, see, there's different human being talking with the guy from Florida versus the mutinizer at the quarterback position in Alabama. And he won't be the quarterback at the end of it. Middle of the season, though. He'd be on the bench. All right, now, you were talking about Plaxico Burress. I remember the first time I heard his name, I thought that was kind of a cool name. And then he went on the airwaves real quick, and I think he's the first one I heard call Nick Saban a liar on the airwaves. Because at that point, Nick was leaving Michigan State. He'd done promised him, you know, I'm a team, and I don't know what I'd be without a team. And then he bails for it. Wasn't it LSU? Isn't that correct, Paul?
That is correct.
Are those facts, Paul?
Those are the facts.
Those are the facts.
Those are the facts, Your Honor.
Those are the facts. Just the facts. Thank you, Sergeant Friday. All right, then moving on. I like these callers that use these industry terms. I think I'm going to segue into this part. And are you going to take a hard break? I mean, don't you like that when the callers feel so close to you, they feel like the production kind of folks and the engineers? And if they was walk back there and see all the cables and stuff that are back there that have to be plugged in, you know, in the in positions and the out positions and all that, it's going to lift the hell out of them. And then you put the microphone in their faces like, oh, I'm rotate because my mama told me rotate. That's first words I learned, Paul. Rotate. Actually, they didn't learn them together. They just, whoa, 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 whoa. That counts. Whoa, 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 whoa. And then about time to get to 40, throw that first L in there. Oh, he said two words. You got to love it. And then what's the problem? Why do you, I think I get it. I know why you take multiple calls from certain callers on any given day because of the way things are moving. Ladies and gentlemen, this ain't the neighborhood traffic. This is interstate traffic. It's 10 lanes wide going north, south, east, and west. And why do people complain? Well, he's only called four times. Why don't he stop calling? He's done called five times. All he does is complain. What do you take those calls, Paul? I'm interested in that. I think the public would like to know.
Because I want to.
That's exactly right. Because you're the one making this quilt. You're the one making them yarn and darning and making that sweater for Jim for Christmas. And making a black hat for Legend. And probably making some mittens for Susie. And what do we get, Matt? An ambassador badge. An ambassador to Mississippi badge. But I think you take those calls because you know that people are, these people have hit something. They hit the vein and they're on a roll. And I appreciate John's calls, and I agree with him. I mean, Alabama gets a pass because they're Alabama, and they haven't done a damn thing. This team and this staff haven't done squat. But now, why does Alabama get that pass, you know, to the top 10, wherever they end up? But if you were looking at a basketball bracket right now, you wouldn't have any number one seeds. You wouldn't have any number twos, threes, fours, five, or whatever in the different regions. Because nobody knows. There's nothing to compare to right now. But this guy, oh, he was a friend. He's somewhere out yonder, and he was a winner. With them little guys, them little slow guys, them cold guys that don't go outside except in the summertime. And he was, I don't know where he was, but he was over there. He's a great coach. You know, he was in the national championship game. He got the $6 million man didn't even make $8 million. But he gets a raise right off the bat because that's will, money, and they will determine to sell them damn T-shirts. We got thousands of hats, visors. And they ain't done nothing. There's nothing to compare them to. There's absolutely nothing to compare to. If this was the first page of a book and we're looking at Alabama, there is blank. It's null and void. There's nothing there. Nothing but your fingerprints from trying to figure out, what the hell do I do here? What the hell do I do? I will make them number two. We'll make them number three. You know they got a great coach. He played for National. He got his ass whipped in the National Championship by a team that had offense, defense, and special teams. Got his ass whipped. Poor Dan Eagle, have a good day.
Johnny is up next.
You know, first of all, thank you for taking my call, but suddenly, I don't miss Jim as bad as I thought I did. I think our man was on hold.
Oh, my goodness.
He maybe smoked.
I thought I was going through psychotherapy there for a minute.
I was just wondering if it was going to end. I mean,
I was afraid to get in the way because I didn't want to interrupt a good call.
You know, last I saw, DeBoer finished second with three-star talent. And there's no telling what he's going to do with this team. And Freeze has still got that dude looks like Morgan Wallen that would do better throwing chairs off a building than playing quarterback. But earlier, you brought up something that I really like. The you were talking about the 60s and 70s, the cowboy shows. You remember
that
while ago? Don't you think that they set some unrealistic expectations about quicksand? It just never really materialized like I thought it would.
You're right. I was thinking about that during the entire 15-minute I-Man call.
I'd go down to the pond.
That was I-Man's version of Stairway to Heaven.
That was it. It never ended. I hope.
What's that other song that goes on
again?
So long?
Freebird.
Yeah, Freebird. There's one more. Anyway, I Johnny, I appreciate you. If I'm coming off a little punch drunk. I am. Thanks for the call. John is up next.
Say goodnight, Paul.
Good night, John.
Good night.
The best John call ever. AJ is up next.
One for the money and two for the show. When my boy Legend calls, Paul Feinbaum, AJ's got to go. I'll guarantee you, I'll go help a brother out when in need. Something Jim's never even done. And John, I'm going to tell you something. I'm never going to give you another call after that pathetic one-liner that you had there, young man. That was pathetic, Paul. But you know, Legend called.
I don't know if it was pathetic or not. I think he was answering the I-Man call.
Oh, it was one and hand in hand.
Longest, shortest calls back to back.
Neither one of them went anywhere. But, you know, when Legend called today, Paul, it was, he was saying that, you know, he's in a bind and he needed help. And all I could hear was, he was really saying, I'm on the side of the road and come get me so you can come beat down Jim for 30 seconds on the air on national television. That's what I did to you, Jim. I want you to go back and listen to it. ABC 3340, 10:30 a.m. on Saturday morning, and you will listen to me viscerate you like you do all these females and children like you do, Jim, because you're a pathetic scumbag, and I guarantee you, AJ from Pell City is not above going to pick up an Alabama fan just so I can bust the fattest mouth in the land, the least amount of anything, and a worthless waste of oxygen. Jim, you are him. War damn Eagle, Paul.
Elliot is up next in Ohio.
Oh, it's always a thrill to go after AJ. Amy Joe is what I call him. But Paul, here I'm. Peter Doering or Peter Burns and Doering. When I called them, what's really nice on the SEC morning shows, we have a conversation about the Big Ten, and they're not opposed. They'll chuckle when I say I'm from the SEC is overrated.com, but then we have a really good conversation. For example,
well, maybe you should confine your calls to just them in the future.
Well, let's talk about the top 10 in the draft right now. How heavily weighted it is towards the Big Ten. And how that's a warning sign for the SEC. What do you think about the top 10 prospects in the draft and how heavily weighted?
I really don't care, Elliot, because we're up against the break. Thank you for the call. We will be right back. More after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time running out on a Thursday, and Logan is up next.
Hey, Paul, what the hell was I-Man talking about? Like, could you make sense of that call?
I could not.
He's talking about, I mean, he thinks Hugh Freeze is a better coach than Kalen DeBoer. He thinks they have more talent in Auburn. I mean, I don't understand that. I mean, like, the dude, he's crazy as hell. I mean, what the hell, dude? You are crazy as hell, man. Like, Auburn is not going to be a competitor in the SEC next year. And you just need to accept that. With the quarterback they have, he's not going to do it. I mean, Peyton Thorne, or whatever the hell his name is, he's not going to take you to the next level. And Alabama, we have the talent. We have the coach. We have the talent to do it. So I don't understand that, Paul. But, hey, Paul, who do you think is going to go number one tonight and the quarterback on the draft?
Oh, it's going to be Caleb Williams. There's no debate about that.
You think so? You think he'll be over? Yeah, I don't know. I'm really big on the LSU guy.
Well, I am too, but really it's still going to be Caleb Williams. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Joey is up next. Hey, Joey.
Hey, Paul, I got a bone to pick with you. You ready?
I think so.
Hey, you think you biased?
Do I think I'm biased?
Yeah.
No?
You don't think? I was on a phone call about an hour and 15 minutes. You had Jim to call in 4 or 5 times, John to call in 2 or 3 times. And I sat here, and then the show was cut off.
Well, Joey, I apologize. I should have. You may remember we've had about an hour's worth of guests here in the past hour and a half.
Oh, yeah, you had a bunch, but I was sitting there watching you. Jim, I don't know, on Wednesdays, I should never try to call on Wednesday because Wednesday's Jim's night because there ain't nobody.
Well, Joey, we've got a couple of minutes here. Why don't we talk about what you're interested in talking about versus what you weren't able to talk about yesterday?
Okay. About this AJ over there.
Yeah.
And Legend. I guess Legend, I had a lot of respect for him, and he said AJ was his buddy now. That's really messed up. That's an Auburn fan, man. You don't get no ride from no Auburn fan.
So, Joey, that was what you wanted to talk about yesterday?
No, yesterday is what I want to talk about was the Heisman. I don't think the dude ought to get his Heisman back because he cheated. Other than that, they ought to let Pete Rose in.
Well, first of all, Joey, one thing does not have anything to do with the other.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'll explain.
Well, I know Pete Rose cheated, but I know the Heisman man, his mom and him got a new house and stuff. Wouldn't that be against the rules?
Well, it was against the rules, and the NCAA took action against Southern Cal. Now, what the Heisman did is completely different. They have their own standards, and they decided to take the Heisman away based on the NCAA ruling. In Pete Rose's case, by the way, Reggie Bush also apologized and asked for forgiveness. Pete Rose has never asked for anything.
You got that right. I ain't never heard him say that either.
Don't you think? Okay, other than that, is there anything else we missed yesterday or today that you want to clear up? I don't want to rush you here because you've waited 2 days for this epic phone call.
Well, it was 36 hours.
You waited 36 hours to say what?
Because yesterday I couldn't get in. I had to wait all the way until I get off work, and kept doing it again.
Okay, so you are on now. I mean, we've got a couple of minutes left.
What I'm going to tell you, if I got to down women or I got to talk about God to get on your show.
Oh, God.
Now, who was that in the background? Is that Manna?
Yeah, she's mad at me right now.
Why is she mad at you?
Because of what I just said.
Well, listen, you watch this show, don't you?
I've been watching it for 18 years.
Okay.
But I finally, 2 months ago, I finally got big enough to even try to call in.
Well, when you watch the show, what interests you?
What interests me?
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a reason why you've been watching the show for 18 years, even though we've only been on for 10.
Well, I've been listening to you on the radio.
Okay,
too.
Yeah, I've been on for 18 on the radio.
Okay, yeah, I've been listening to you on the radio.
Okay, well, Joey, when you listen to what makes a great show in your estimation?
What makes the show?
Yeah, why have you listened and watched for 18 years?
It's funny. Like to call some of your callers. Some of them ain't just like me. I ain't no good. Some of your callers ain't no good either.
But Joey, I think you are good. Don't you, Randy?
Ain't no good.
You should not have to wait that.
Randy over there shaking his head, no.
You should not have to wait that long to be on the show.
Huh?
You should get on the second you call.
No, I can't get on.
Well, you should be able to.
Well, I ain't got one of them black hats, and I don't do the internet, and I ain't got a computer or none of that, so I can't get on there.
So what do you mean you don't have a computer?
No, man, they don't believe in the computers and stuff. We don't have that.
You have
a
television?
I've been calling a house phone.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.